Welcome to Agency of the Month, brought to you by Harris Caprock. Reliability never reached so far on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We're proud to present this month's agency, DISA.
Welcome to the program. I'm Lauren Larson. My guest today is Dr. Jennifer Carter. She's the Component Acquisition Executive at the Defense Information Systems Agency, delivering capability more quickly while working within existing acquisition rules. How do you do that?
So some of the strategies that we're applying to improve the timeline for capability delivery include building the rapid delivery into the cycle. So it seems like there's two different views. One view would be that if you do it ad hoc, you can deliver it more quickly. But really, if you plan it in to have the delivery cycles and to do future enhancements into the cycle, it's actually faster because then your contract vehicles have the scope, your budget is there, you have the people, and you're planning those cycles of additional capability into it. The contracting timelines, the budget changes and things, all those timelines are fairly slow. So if you build it into your program, you have the ability to have the faster cycle time. So we're working to make sure that all the program baselines have thought through what future capability enhancements they might need to have and built that into the baseline. In addition, we're working to make sure that folks are using modular architectures. So if you look at some of the advancements, ozone widget formats, application stores, and different components of modular software like analytic capabilities that are components of a larger architecture so that you can add capabilities quickly. It's those types of architectures that allow you to put capabilities into an integrated suite of tools at a faster cycle time. So we have an engineering panel that reviews all the different programs and designs to be able to put their two cents in, essentially, to make sure that we're using agile architectures as well. We also have an initiative to expand the MilCloud environment. And from an end-to-end cloud-based environment, it allows you to do more rapid delivery because you're leveraging infrastructure as a service, so you don't have to go out and get your own infrastructure for programs. And then you can transition. The idea as we develop that environment is to transition more quickly from a development environment to a test environment to a production environment. And so we're doing a lot of work on the MilCloud as an enabler, also for rapid delivery of capability.
This is trying to create a centralized strategy or common approach to how it handles multiple award contracts. What does that mean?
So this is part of looking at the ability to move more quickly as well. So if we take a centralized approach or a common approach to how we do something like engineering services, right, and we have an agency-level contract vehicle in place for engineering services that we can order on, then instead of having to put a vehicle in place for every effort, we have something that somebody can leverage that would have the ability to access engineering services quickly. So, for example, when we start up a pilot initiative or if we start up a new program initiative, rather than having the entire procurement cycle for engineering services, there's already a vehicle in place that we can start that up quickly. Or if we expand a capability, again, there's a place to go to get engineering services to work with design work and initial planning work. That's in place already without the normal cycle time that would be a constraint for getting an effort like that started. So one of it is the timeline. The other part is getting commonality of tools, of processes. So there's the Defense Enterprise Service Management Framework. The DESMF is intended to provide a context to build the services within, and that provides some commonality that if we put some of those rules in place on a centralized contract, we can be assured of some level of rigor with how those are those processes are applied. So common tools, common processes, we can make sure that there's quality and efficiency incentives on contract vehicles. So the idea is to make sure that we have an overarching approach that we can then have in place for agile startup, for consistency, and for improved quality.
Can you give an example or two of the success you've had?
The idea is to have a centralized acquisition strategy. It doesn't necessarily mean you'd only have one contract vehicle. It could mean that you have an overarching acquisition strategy. And help desk contracts is one example, right? We have multiple help desk support contracts. There's a common ticketing tool approach that we want to use. There's a common process for how you handle tickets. So we could put an overarching acquisition strategy in place that requires all the contract vehicles to have that, Or we could put a contract in place for help desk support that has multiple task orders or multiple awards on it, and then you could compete it at the task order level. Either way, we get efficiencies and we get a common approach to how we do help desk support, which will give us cost savings over the long term.
As the Defense Department moves to the joint information environment, how are these strategies integral to its success?
The joint information environment is very much focused on efficiencies and drawing, sort of taking a more cohesive view across the board to allow economies of scale, to streamline operations by doing things in a more joint manner. So there's a lot of approaches on the efficiencies that you can do at the contract, at the program level, but looking across the board at increased virtualization, the data center consolidation, optimized network structure, as we move forward to plan those, if every program and every effort is thinking through those principles and how they've worked to implement those, we'll start to see the trends that get us in that direction, right? So if we can increase virtualization for every program that requires leveraging, you know, a set of capacity, or if they're buying it from a common service component versus buying servers and setting them all up, you know, we're already starting to move in that direction, right? So if every program is thinking through those principles of JIE, that's part of it. And the other part of it is JIE having the plans and standards in place and architecture in place that folks can move forward to align with the overall JIE. So I think these level initiatives at the program and portfolio level all move us in that direction, but then the guidance on what JIE means and then providing that so that folks can continue to evolve to more clear guidance on JIE will continue to move that forward.
We'll take a short break now. You're listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. I'm Lauren Larson. My guest is Dr. Jennifer Carter. She's the Component Acquisition Executive of the Defense Information Systems Agency.
In today's government environment, priorities change on a dime, so government customers need a telecommunications provider that can change at the same pace. Harris Caprock has plenty of bright ideas about how to make that happen. Ideas that enable agility. Ideas that ensure resiliency. Ideas that increase cost effectiveness. Harris Caprock tailors telecommunication solutions around customer needs, instead of forcing customers' requirements into standard service offerings. They've delivered telecommunications to more than 1,000 government locations in the U.S. Harris Caprock's extensive network connects 60-plus major Department of Defense locations with speeds up to 100G. Their capabilities extend even further around the world with a robust global backbone network spanning 23 countries. Harris Caprock specializes in engineering affordable solutions that provide rapid connectivity. To learn more, visit harriscaprock.com/brightideas. harriscaprock.com/brightideas.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. I'm Lauren Larson. My guest is Dr. Jennifer Carter. She's the Component Acquisition Executive at the Defense Information Systems Agency. Can you talk a little about mobility and improving integration?
We're really working hard to try to merge more of what you see in a sort of personal commercial environment into warfighter hands, right, so they can leverage that. And App Store is a very typical thing we all use, we all leverage. There are efforts underway across the government and pockets to develop apps and leverage applications. What we're doing is working to put that as an infrastructure in place so that we can have a DoD-wide, why should everybody have to go address the business model of how you do applications or the security aspect of the application store? Why would you want to do that in 5 different places across the defense, right? Do it in one place and then have it be available so you can get sharing and cost efficiencies. And so that's really the idea is to put something like that in place. So we're working on maturing that. Part of the product we bought in the MDM Mass Award is the application store, the framework for the application store. So we're working on getting that in place, and then we're going to be working across the community to populate that with applications. We're going to be working on the business model for applications. The application store isn't the only way to get applications on a device. You can preload applications on a device. You can get to applications through a network connection. So there's various ways to get capability access domestic capabilities from the device, but the application store is one of the key ones, and we're continuing to mature that. And as we mature it, we already have in place a process to vet applications to make sure that they meet the security standards and then can be put into the application store for broader use across DoD. So we're really working hard to mature that. And I believe that's going to really expand the capabilities of the device for users into other areas like logistics and things like that. There's a very broad scope of opportunities and potential once we get that in place. And already some of the services have been working on applications that they've been using in different areas, and our plan is to pull that all in and leverage that and provide it back. As we look at the enterprise service offerings that we have, it's important to us that industry continue to evolve those enterprise service offerings for not only reduced costs, but for improved integration. Right, because right now there's multiple commercial products, but they don't integrate well into an integrated suite of tools. In the area of the types of services like email, chat, video, voice, the more integrated that we can make that suite of tools, the better our service offerings will be for our customers, and also the more we can buy it as a package and identify again cost savings as well.
So how are you measuring performance and efficiency?
We have multiple perspectives that we measure performance on, and we're working to make sure that every program in place has a performance document, and then we're tracking the performance measures. And we're making really good progress on that. Of course, every program considers performance. We're working to make that a little more structured, but we're also making sure that we've got all the perspectives. So there's a operational perspective from sort of a user perspective. There's an operational perspective from operating the service itself. There's a network operations perspective and essentially the security perspective of the NetOps. There's the system perspective, who's running the system and monitoring it. So we take all those perspectives into account, and as they develop these tools and services, those performance measures are tracked, and the intent is to have those tracked in tools, right? So to have tools that are measure that and provide those measures back to you, and then summarize those in a dashboard so you get alerts if it's not meeting performance. And so we've really been making a lot of progress on maturing that. We need to continue to evolve that to make that easier. We're also trying to move in the direction of tracking the performance, again, as I mentioned, with tools and alerts and dashboards so that we can reduce the labor that's required, both for the operations and for tracking performance, and then overall improve the system capabilities. Now, we review efficiency from multiple perspectives. Most of the contract vehicles we have both performance measures and efficiency measures. And the ones that don't, as we move forward, will have those kinds of measures so that when we provide support and we do operations and there's a performance level, there's also a level that says, you know, we don't want the performance to go up here at the expense of cost, right? So that'll make sure that the contract itself has measures for both in place to make sure that we find the right balance. So we're working to make sure that we have that in place. And for most, we already do. And the other thing we're doing at the agency level is there's a lot of efficiency initiatives that are underway. And there's also just standard good practice, right? Like will cost, should cost that we implement in the Better Buying Power 2.0. As we do recompetes, there's expected efficiency based on how that's those are structured. There's where we have projects that will automate capabilities that used to be manual, and there's expected efficiencies there. And what we do is we take those efficiency projects, and then we track the planned savings against those efficiency projects. So we're value engineering. We had several value engineering efforts that we continue to track. So what we're doing this year is putting together a more structured, formal list of what those things are, and then requiring savings reporting against those efficiencies. And that'll give just a little bit more structure to what we're ongoing efficiency efforts already.
How are you looking to reduce sustainment and service costs?
There's several things we're working on there. Help desk efficiencies is one of the things, you know, I already mentioned. And we're looking across the board at opportunities to consolidate help desk, streamline the levels of support, and leverage that larger help desk infrastructure as we do additional projects or programs or capabilities that get delivered. Of course, as I mentioned, also we're looking at contract incentives that match up with performance incentives for efficiency, so that it's not just performance levels that we're measuring, but also the efficiency against those levels. I did talk about the way we buy, whether we buy as a service or whether we buy as where the government is the integrator. One of the other things we're looking to do in the cases where the government does do the integration or where the government leverages things like capacity services and storage, we're working to reduce those costs. So we're actually looking at examining all the different cost drivers of the programs and then sort of taking down the list on those cost drivers to see for each one of those where we can reduce costs. And because if we can reduce storage costs and capacity costs, that's going to ripple through all of the programs that leverage that. And then we'll be able to reduce costs across the board. So we're also looking at cost drivers from that perspective as well.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. I'm Lauren Larson. My guest is Dr. Jennifer Carter. She's the Component Acquisition Executive at the Defense Information Systems Agency.
In today's government environment, priorities change on a dime. So government customers need a telecommunications provider that can change at the same pace. Harris Caprock has plenty of bright ideas about how to make that happen. Ideas that enable agility. Ideas that ensure resiliency. Ideas that increase cost effectiveness. Harris Caprock tailors telecommunication solutions around customer needs instead of forcing customers' requirements into standard service offerings. They've delivered telecommunications to more than 1,000 government locations in the U.S. Harris Caprock's extensive network connects 60-plus major Department of Defense locations with speeds up to 100G. Their capabilities extend even further around the world with a robust global backbone network spanning 23 countries. Harris Caprock specializes in engineering affordable solutions that provide rapid connectivity. To learn more, visit harriscaprock.com/bright ideas. harriscaprock.com/bright ideas.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. I'm Lauren Larson. My guest is Dr. Jennifer Carter. She's the Component Acquisition Executive at the Defense Information Systems Agency.
How is the agency making more use of commodity IT or adapting its approaches to the way things are done in the commercial world?
So there's several areas where we're working that. Now, we're being very careful in the approach to leveraging that to have an understanding of what the industry offerings are. And the strategy that we can take ranges from different levels of government and contractor responsibilities, right? All the way from the government builds it, owns it, operates it, to you're buying it completely as a service. And it's owned and operated in a contractor space, and you're just buying the service. And so as we look at what we're going to be acquiring, we look through the range of those alternatives and have to do that assessment to sort of pick the best alternative. As industry evolves, there become more service offerings at better prices because they're offering those on a very large scale in the commercial market. And so the opportunities there expand for us to buy more as a service and reduce costs. So what we do is we look at those alternatives and we evaluate those so that we can work on leveraging industry, the opportunities that the evolution of industry affords us as the commercial market changes.
And can you tell me a little bit about how you consider risk when looking at commercial products?
Right. So that's really important because we have a very large user base. And when we do enterprise services on the scale of, you know, all of DOD, we do have to take into account the risk, the potential risk to our customers. And the way we assess that is we have to look at the transition. We have to look at as when we're bringing folks on. We have to look at the capability offering. And then we have to make sure that we put it in place with very clear performance requirements so that we can be sure we can hold accountable either the service or the support context for addressing that. So, for example, if it's government-owned, government-operated, government-developed, we're assuming the risk, but there's still a risk there because do we have all the right assets? Do we have all the right expertise? And if we buy it entirely as a service, then there's a risk that they might not deliver against that service. And so we have to make sure in the contract vehicle we adjust all those performance parameters. And so there's really risk across the board. We have to look at the nature of that, and we have to consider what the potential risk is against what our customers' requirements are and do that balance.
What capabilities are you looking for industry to provide?
We're really interested in cloud services across the board and cloud services in a way that the government can buy them, right? So there's a commercial market. And then the government has constraints about the, you know, year dollars how they buy quantities and for users and then also the provisioning, the cycle times for provisioning and things. So we really want to make sure that there's opportunities to leverage the commercial cloud space, but also we need to make sure that we can do it within the business rules of the government and then especially important, the security requirements of the government. So there's some interesting challenges there. And part of it is how do we address that in the entirely commercial space or are there opportunities to set up a partitioned cloud that still leverages or gets you to commercial pricing with a large number of users, but more efficiently meets the and still meets the government security requirements? And then there's the other end of the spectrum, which is entirely leveraging government sort of cloud space. So we really need to look across the board, and it is possible that over time that we can get the prices. As industry continues to evolve their security features, our hope is that that's going to continue to evolve so that we can leverage what are commercial pricing standards and still be able to meet the government security standards. And one of the things we've done to be proactive in that is putting out security information, security requirements, and security guides. Same approach that we're taking in mobility is putting out the security requirement guides in hopes that industry will advance their security features before even the product comes out, right, that it'll work it into the product so that we can more leverage the commercial product. And it really provides a competitive advantage for them as well, because we're not the only entity interested in security, right? The banks care about security, folks care about their intellectual property. So we believe that meeting the government security standards in commercial products not only benefits us by allowing us to take advantage of commercial pricing, but would also benefit industry by giving them a competitive advantage in other markets where security is important as well.
What kind of response are you getting? Is there a positive sort of trend in that direction, do you think?
I think there is. We've gotten very good feedback from companies that they have been working to address security aspects. We've seen multiple industry folks that have come in and talked through their plans for security enhancements. So I think a lot of industry was already moving that way because they need it for the commercial space as well. And by us providing specific requirements for DoD, it allows them to merge the plans that they had anyway for embedding security into their products in a way that that would meet the DoD needs off the shelf.
I wanted to give our listeners a sense of what makes a good proposal.
In this budget environment, one of the key things that we're looking for in proposals is thinking through the efficiency factors of how the service or product will be delivered, and have they thought through that being efficient and the value and the cost as part of their proposal, not just directly responding, but is there some innovation or thought put into how we could make sure that that is the best value for the government as part of that. So that's always something folks are looking for. And performance measures being clear. So how are they actually going to be able to meet the performance, and how would they be able to show that they are meeting the performance? Demonstrated capabilities, really having where the proposal demonstrates a clear understanding of the requirements and then explains how the requirements will be met in a way that gives a sense of confidence that that they can actually meet the requirements through the description of the work, through a description of the processes to get there, through the level of expertise in the personnel. So you're really looking for not only are they saying that they can meet it, but is there some demonstration of that in the way that they describe the work efforts and in the quality of personnel and expertise that they bring to the table? Oh, and also good management plan. So not just clear solutions that meet the requirements. And sometimes people don't always go back and do a real check between all the requirements and the proposal. And that's really critical that somebody does a matching between that, so you're not leaving any gaps. But the other piece of it is a good management plan, because a great solution, you know, might be there, but if there isn't a decent management plan that addresses quality and how they're going to manage the program or the work efforts in a way that gives you a sense of confidence, it could, again, impact the way people view the comprehensive proposal.
That's all the time we have today. I want to thank my guest, Dr. Jennifer Carter, Component Acquisition Executive at the Defense Information Systems Agency, for joining us today. I'm Lauren Larson. You've been listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to the Agency of the Month, brought to you by Harris Caprock. Reliability never reached so far, on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Agency of the Month, Thursday mornings at 10 AM, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. WFED, your source for federal news now.